envoyé ce soir.
Maurien.
Salut les serviteurs de Dieu.
And the bride of Jesus
Christ.
Et l'épouse du Seigneur Jésus Christ.
You are his purchased possession.
And
without you, we ministers will be irrelevant. We are here to serve you. We are here to help and minister to you. We are
here
to help and to do all we can. To prepare you for your role.
Amen.
Therefore, I say to you, if you have a God called pastor, that's the greatest gift God can give you.
Amen.
Support him. Because the Lord is blessed, the more you are blessed. And the more you are blessed, the more that we together can leave this place.
If
you have your Bibles,
I
invite you to John chapter 3.
John chapter 3 from the third verse to the sixth verse. De watemu aide dada pe domezi evelia be wagatia Yesu do uglo bena va mele eglo na obena ne umeti ameto dipo ple bobome ola matemu aide dipo fianupela me o nusi wotito untila mela untila wonye eye nusi wotito bobome na bobo wonye. Amen.
Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of His word.
May be seated.
Well, today is my birthday. I tried to get Brother Valfred to take the service tonight. But I can see that Brother Jerome was very steadfast.
But
as I look around, here, I notice there's so many young people. You are our future. You are our future.
You are our
future. You are that good ground.
Good
ground.
Good ground.
And for each one of us ministers, you give us an opportunity to sow such good seeds. The messenger said that young men will raise up and sweep this message to the coming of the Lord. I used to think that I was one of those young men. As I look around, I believe that you are those young men. It is to all of
them,
every minister, to pay special attention to our young men. Because of that prophecy, young men will rise up and speak this message to the coming of the Lord. What a tremendous prophecy. What a tremendous statement from the mouth of a prophet. And I believe this prophet, like Samuel, God never allowed his words to fall on the ground. And therefore I believe that you are that generation. I was told I was going to speak just to the congregation. I see a lot of fine ministers here. And I happened to change my subject about half an hour ago. When I saw such young people, I thought I would want to impart something to you. You spend so much time speaking to the parents and the believers. I don't believe we spend enough time with our young. In fact, when I leave here, I'm going to Johannesburg. I'm going to speak to another set of French message believers. This is the year for me to read the French churches. And then I go to Durban. And we are having a youth meeting camp,
So
I think it's a burden for the ministers. Because our young people are under such attack.
Television.
Movies.
Video.
Drugs. So many different.
Yes.
And I think they need to do much more work in you. You are our future. So today, I would like to speak on the ABC, from ABC to the new birth. So if our ministers will forgive us, because they all will know the subject already. But my aim is to speak to you. If you notice in the scriptures, Jesus' first doctrine, he said, you must be born again. We know the new birth is the fix about what happened in the Garden of Eden. It addresses the problem. It tells you the solution. Therefore, the new book refixes what happened in the garden. I want you to notice. He said you must. In other words, it's not an option. In other words, there's no other way to fix the problem. It's one way and no other way. Therefore, I believe we need to spend some time, especially with you, with our young, for you to understand what that means. You must be born again. What does that tell you? What that comes to your mind when a minister says you must be born again? I remember when I was a young Christian, I did not have a clue what that was. I must be born again. What was it?
Look at him.
How do I get it?
Let him makelewi.
What are the steps?
Look at him. I can open kawelewu.
I believe we need to make it as simple as possible for you.
Eye makwa sebena elebena miawe wa bobole bebalo miawe wa no jena mi.
Because for me,
ela bana na nyea.
It wasn't simple.
Meno bobwe na nyea o.
It was very confusing.
Nya to nya la chaka na nya bi.
Therefore, I want to use my experience to help you. What comes to your mind when you hear you must be born again? What it tells you that something was wrong with your first birth. Something is wrong with your first birth. And from that first birth, all our problems arise. I want you to notice that to be born again, first, you need to acknowledge you need to be born again.
Amen.
Now, if I was to ask you, how did you become a sinner? What did you do to become a sinner? One brother says nothing. He is the oldest youth I see here.
Amen.
This is your service tonight. I want to hear from you. What did you do to become a sinner? Anyone? To become a sinner. And why is it that when you try to do good, it's so difficult, but it's so easy to do bad? Is that not what every one of us experience?
Yeah.
That That's a reality. There's not one person on this earth that never had that. Even the prophet messenger. Even the great Saint Paul. A man who lived a holy life. Before he became a Christian. While he was still Jewish. He kept the letter of the word.
And
he said, when I desire to do good, evil is present
in
me. And that which I don't want to do, that I do. That's a law in you and I. You cannot fix the problem.
Yes.
If you don't understand the problem. You have to understand the
problem.
What did you do to become a sinner? There's one brave believer. There's one brave believer. You did not do anything to become a sinner. You did not do anything to become a sinner. You became a sinner because of what Adam did. It's called the law of representation. The law of representation and imputation. This is how God judged. He takes the first fruit of everything. So take the first man. Then in his loins is a race.
Human.
You were in Adam. I am in Adam. Now let's give Adam a name, another name.
As for me,
I'm going to call him Mango. I like Mango.
So
I'm going to call him
Mango.
Now every seed in Adam is a mango. Therefore, the race is called the mango race. And everywhere God sees a mango, he calls it by the name of the head of the race. Therefore, God does not see Brother Jerome. He does not see Brother Balfred. He sees Adam. He doesn't know Tom, Dick, and Harry. He only sees a species of Adam. So, if from your first birth, your name is Adam. That's how God knows you. It's called the law of the first fruit. Therefore, when Adam sinned, everyone whose name is Adam sinned. Therefore, in Adam's loin, You being in there, you were born with a sin nature. So I'm going to ask you again. What did you do to become a sinner? The answer is nothing. You didn't do anything to become a sinner. What? You are a sinner because of what Adam did. Let me clear it up for you. If you were to keep the entire Bible, if you were to obey the whole message of the prophet, your name will still be Adam. You will still be a sinner, and you will still go to the same place. Because you are condemned because of your nature. And this nature is an Adam nature. You need another nature. And since you got your nature from Adam, you need another nature. Therefore, you need another Adam.
Amen.
Amen.
No new Adam, no new nature.
Adam meliola jodomereke
meliola
jodomie ye meliola.
Let me clear something up in your mind.
Ma konani resi sumenani.
You might believe.
The one in your voice.
God wants you to stop lying.
Que Dieu. Que maudi ben ya jodola patata.
You might believe. God wants you to stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop cheating. Stop doing these things. But if you stop doing those things, you are actually going further away from God. You are actually insulting God. Because you are saying, I could live a good life with a sinful nature.
Okay.
Thank you. Now
that is called hypocrisy.
Amen.
And when you could live a good life, or a message life, without a new nature, you're telling God, I could be like him without his nature.
Sorry,
did they
catch that?
Yes.
Did you catch that? When you conform to the message,
yes.
Or you can,
yes.
When you conform to holiness, without the nature change, you are telling God, I can be like you without your nature. Let's try again. Watch carefully. Then what you are doing, if you try to be a good boy, or a good girl, do everything right, then you believe that God should bless you. But remember what you are saying. You are saying, I could be good.
Yes.
I could be like God with all the nature of God. Is that not what Satan told Eve in the garden? If you can eat from the tree of good and evil, you shall be like God. That's the religious lie. And if you don't understand that, you can never come to be born again. Because you are trying to be good, and you're trying to do good, and the Bible says, how can you get a clean thing from an unclean thing? You cannot. Now you say, well, why do you sin? You sin to prove that you are a sinner. Your sinning is for your good. God knows what's in you. And God said there's no good thing in you. How could God expect good from somebody who is not good? It's because Satan lied to you. Satan told you, God wants good from you, and you have no good in you. And therefore you believe Satan lies, and you are trying to do good without a good nature. Who is telling you that? Who put that in your mind? Who tell you that's Christianity? That's not Christianity. That's a lie.
Yeah.
If you could be good without the nature, then Jesus died in vain. If you could change, if you can be good enough, then why did Jesus die? It's because you misunderstand what the gospel is all about. The gospel is not looking for good boys.
Amen.
Amen. You ever see a doctor looking for healthy people? You ever see police looking for good citizens? Why do you go to the hospital? Because you are healthy? You misunderstand. He's looking for those who believe they are bad. Those who believe they could never change. Now watch carefully. In the world, the wisdom of God is down. And in the kingdom of God, the wisdom of man is down. Watch carefully. The world believes, the Christian world believes, God is looking for good boys and girls. The kingdom of God says, He's come to look for them who cannot help themselves.
Who have no hope. Amen.
So therefore, from your first birth, since you were born from a lie, this nature lies to you. This nature is the deceiver. It lies to you. Because you are born from the tree of good and evil. And you are trying to get rid of the evil by doing good. But doing good cannot remove the evil in you.
Amen.
You see, the evil in you is working on the kingdom of God's behalf. And the good in you is working for the kingdom of darkness. Because it's a deceiving tree. It has in you is good and evil. So now you might think, this brother, he has 90% good. And 10% bad. And this young man, he has 90% bad. And 10% good. And you say, he's a good man. He's a bad man. Because the more good he has, you say he's a good man. But if they both die, they go to the same place.
Yes.
Because we have been deceived. To believe that the good in us is good. And God says the good in you is filthiness of rags. You see why? Because the good in you works against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It encourages you to want to do, to be good. And if you're good, you believe that God saved you. Because you're good. So the good in you deceives you. The more good in you, it's more deceived you are.
Amen.
Amen.
But when the bad in you becomes so bad that you hate yourself, you disgust with yourself, you are ashamed of yourself. You're in a good position to be saved. If you don't understand that you were born from the tree of good and evil, and the good in that tree is evil in the eyes of God. So I'm going to say this. The gospel, when mixed with good works, is evil. the gospel when mixed with good works is evil. That's the Catholic gospel. And that gospel comes from the bottomless pit. Watch carefully. The gospel of grace says there's nothing you can do to be saved. Nothing.
Yeah.
If you save, you're saved by grace.
That's right.
And the word grace means unmerited favor. It means nothing on your behalf. Nothing that you could do. No works you could do. No changes you could do. When you come to such a place, to such a knowledge,
Amen.
You are ready for the gospel of grace.
Amen.
Watch carefully. What did you do to become a sinner? Nothing. What does your sinning do? Your sinning is to prove to you you are a sinner. If you didn't do anything to become a sinner, it's because of what somebody else did. Adam sinned. And you become a sinner. And God is saying, if you have come to a place where you do not trust in your good, you didn't do anything to become a sinner. You don't have to do anything to become righteous. If you do anything to become righteous, it's because you're still a sinner. But you are a deceived sinner. You become a worse sinner. Because you become a religious sinner. This is the mystery of the sinner. A sinner. First, you are a sinner by good. Second, someone introduced Christ to you. So you accept Christ. You accept the cross. But then you reject the message of the hour. Then you become a religious sinner. Sinner by religion. And then you become a sinner by choice. You can be a sinner by birth. And you come to the cross. You accept religion. You reject the message. You're a religious sinner. Or you can reject all religion. And now that you're a sinner by choice. Not just by birth. But a premeditated choice.
Yes.
So sinning is to prove to you that you are a sinner. It is not to get you to change doing. If you didn't do anything become a sinner, how can doing good things change you from being a sinner? You didn't do anything to become a sinner. How can doing any good change you from being a sinner? I want you to understand the problem. Because it's right, the problem is right here. Misunderstanding what God wants from you. There are three things you need to come to a booth.
Ezekiel 36:26.
What is the new heart? As a man thinketh in his heart. A new heart is a new way of thinking. When you start thinking that I did not do anything to become a sinner. If I do good, I'm still a sinner. I do bad, I'm still a sinner. Why am I trying to do anything? Because nothing I do can help myself. But there's somebody. What they do can help me. You need another
Adam.
You need another representation. And this is what God says. When you come to a place where your heart now begins to think, and you begin to think that nothing I can do can change my nature. If I do bad, it's because I have a nature. If I do good, I still have the nature. If I do bad, I still go to hell. If I do good, I still go to hell. Then there's nothing you can do. And when you give up on yourself, when you stop looking to do anything for yourself, then the Holy Spirit is the one who's giving you a new way of thinking. Because if you could do anything, if you could do any change that can change your status with God, Jesus died in vain. You could get that thinking. If you ever come God's provided way, you will enjoy Christianity. You will enjoy this message. What's happening? This is your whole nature. This is Adam. He is condemned. You are condemned. You are under the wrath of God. Now watch carefully. This is how important God wants you to know to give up on yourself. This is This is how much God wants you to despise the good in you. Because the good in you is what deceives you to believe you're good. And motivate you to want to be better. And motivate you to want to be better. And the more you do that, is the more you move away from God. And you move closer to religion.
Yes.
Because religion is a covering. You want to cover your sinful nature with good works.
Yes.
Is that not what you are doing? Exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Many in the message. Even from the first generation. They did not come to Christ the right way. But they believed the prophet. They believed the message. And they believed it. They obeyed. But they have no rest. They cannot enjoy it. Because they are constantly measuring themselves by how good they are in the message. That is bondage. That's the bondage of good works. Let's go to
John 6:29. Yes, don't blood now, Bena. As I am near my upe, though all that Bena. As I am near my upe, though all that Bena. You who are a messy, O daughter, laddie, I say.
Do you want to do the works of God?
Then you give all mouth at all.
If you want to do the works of God,
did
it say to keep the commandments?
Did
it say to be holy?
No.
What did it say?
The
highest of all good works is to believe in whom he sent.
Amen.
That's who he said.
And am I
to believe in him.
Is
the highest of all good works. This is the most pleasing good work to God. Is the highest of all good works. Only when this is your first good work. Only when this is the highest and first of all good works. Then other good works is accepted.
Amen.
So now you got this nature from Adam. Based on what Adam did. And Adam brought you under the wrath of God. He brought you under condemnation. This is what God sees when he looks at you. Now watch carefully. 2 Corinthians.
5:21. 5:21.
I want you to listen. It says he who knew no sin. That's Jesus. He. Jesus. The Lamb of God. The innocent. Without spot. Without blemish. He became sin without doing one sin.
Amen.
Jesus became a sinner and never did one sin. And then the Bible says, and you, without doing one good work, become righteous. Without doing one thing. So why do you want to do good works? Why do you want to do good works?
Look at that.
To be saved? Good works can't save you. Bad works can't save you. Good works can't save you. Why do you want good works? I know you say I'm crazy. The gospel is far away from human thinking. Watch carefully. Christ, who knew no sin, become a sinner. Who sin? Your sin. He become your sin. And you, without doing any good thing, become his righteousness. Without doing one good thing. Watch the book of Romans chapter 5. By one man, sin entered into all men. And by one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness entered into all men. I love this gospel. Amen. I don't expect any good thing from me. And God says, there is no good thing in me. God is not expecting any good thing. The only one thing God wants is not to trust in you. If you could not trust in you, but you trust in who Christ is and what he then you have pleased God. Because faith in Christ pleases God.
Amen.
Faith in Christ pleases God.
Faith.
Hallelujah.
That's how simple the gospel is.
Amen.
When you give up on you, you're in a good place. When you don't trust you, you're in a good place. You do it in water baptism. But it's not explained to you. And when it's not explained to you,
You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to expect. But watch carefully. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, what does that mean? I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. What it means that if he saved you, how can you ever be lost? We are not lost because of what you do. The only way he could be lost is if he is not a good Savior. If he is your Savior, how can you be lost? Unless you don't believe he is your Savior. Unless you believe every time you make a mistake, every time you do wrong, I'm lost again. But when he died, he paid for your sins. Listen carefully. The sins you did in the past, the sins you might be doing now, and the sins that you might be down the road, he don't save you from day to day. He saved you from your sins of the past, what you're doing and what you might do. So how can you be lost unless you don't believe in the Lamb? Do you believe in the Lamb? Does he not accept the Lamb? Does your lamb have any blemish? Does your lamb have any spots? Then God accept your lamb. But if God accept your lamb, then God accept you without doing any good works. Oh, I love.
Oh, my God.
You love this gospel? Watch carefully. If you confess him as your Lord and Savior, what does that mean? Now, if you notice, Romans 10 and 9. Watch carefully.
Roma toka baneta ukuki asiete ya. Ele gbogbo nbe na. Ela bena ne ebua eme kle wo mu bena. Yesu enye apetola. Eye ne fone sena le wo dime bena. Mawufo eya mane titreto ame kuku wo domela. Akpo koko. Ema inya ala.
Anytime you hear, Jesus rose from the dead. Every time you hear God raised Christ from the dead, you know what that means to you? He's raised from the dead because God has accepted the sacrifice. And if you have faith in the Lamb, when you accept the Lamb, he's accepting you. God don't look at you. God is looking at your Lamb. Amen. It's the Lamb that makes us acceptable. Not what you do. What you do. No matter how good it is, can never make you acceptable before God. He only accepts the Lamb. And all your sin,
has now been given to the Lamb.
Amen.
Now if all your sin is in the Lamb,
what
happened to your sin?
Look,
the Lamb cannot be a sinner and you be a sinner too. Somebody is not a sinner. Somebody is not a sinner. If he took your sin
and
put it on the Lamb,
where is
your sin? God does not see you a sinner. Your mommy might see you a sinner. Your daddy might see you a sinner. Your friends might see you a sinner. But in God's eye, he only sees the Lamb. He only sees the Lamb. Therefore, faith means to look away from yourself and look at the Lamb, and when you see the Lamb, then you know that you are sinless. God says you are sinless because the Lamb cannot have your sin and you have your sin too.
Amen. When you have faith in the Lamb,
you say, Pastor, but I still have problems here. The problems I'm doing good or bad could not make you acceptable. How can it make you acceptable now? How can it change your status with God? The only thing changes your status with God is when you do wrong and you forget the Lamb took care of it. When you don't have faith in the Lamb, you say, Pastor, I never heard the gospel that way. That's the gospel. While you are yet a sinner, Christ died for your sin. You are now acknowledging it. One more thing. I know this, we have to hurry. But this subject is so important. I want you to notice. The only way your sin returns back to your account is when the sins in your flesh comes back in your life. And when you say that sin is greater than the work of the Lamb, then you don't believe in the Lamb anymore. The faults in your flesh is to try to see if you are judging with your eyes and your feelings. It is by faith.
Faith
is greater than all good works.
So
let me explain it simply for you. When you are taken to water baptism, when you accept Jesus as Lord, what you are literally doing is you are renouncing your lordship. You are acknowledging that from your first birth, you became your Lord.
That's why
you told your mommy.
And
you told your daddy. This is my life.
You
live your life.
Yeah,
well, let me live my life.
Why?
Because you want to be your Lord.
And
to be your Lord, you practice these five things. I want. I like. I think. I feel. I know. That's your lordship. That is what you are fighting for.
It's
my life. Let me run, rule my life. But when you come to Christ, you hear preachers say you've got to die. You've got to die to yourself. But they never tell you how to die. I tell this brother, you've got to die. He might go and look for a knife.
Look for a knife.
You've got to die, brother. He might go get a knife. To die is mean to give up your lordship. No longer what I want. What he wants. No matter what I
like.
For you sisters, that is what you do when you marry your husband. You acknowledge him as Lord. It's not what I like. It's what my husband likes. It's not what I think. It's what my husband thinks. It's not what I know. It's my husband. It's the same. When you die, you give up lordship. And you're accepting the message.
Yeah.
As your Lord. Because the message is the word. And he is the word. And he is the bridegroom. Amen. If you start right, nothing stops you from the new birth. Nothing stops you from the new birth. You have to start right. You have to know you cannot trust you. Now watch carefully. The worst sinner stands a better chance than a good
sinner.
God wants to know. Do you want a God or do you want to be like God? So what he did, he gave you something called free will. It's not free. Because every suffering you do is because of your will. He gave you free will to play God. You like free will? You want to live your life the way you want? He gave you free will. Knowing one day you're gonna come to a place where you don't trust your decisions. After you suffer enough from your will, having your way, I want this kind of man. I want this kind of woman. You don't want a man described in the Bible. You want one with a tattoo. You want a bad guy.
I want to sell a tattoo with a bob in here.
And then slaps you up.
Hey, yeah,
You want that. You don't want a godly wife. You don't want a word wife. You want a sexy wife. You don't want what the word says. And then she breaks your heart. You cry like a baby.
What?
Look at that. You want your will. God gives you your will. With the belief that one day you will come to not trust yourself. Free will is to bring you to a place of surrender. Don't trust yourself, your decision, because you have tried choosing what you like. How did that work out for you? How much happiness did that bring you? When that is broken, when you come so afraid of yourself, afraid of making decisions, then you start saying, no, what does the word say? What does the message say? Now he's becoming your Lord.
Amen.
That is what it means to go to water baptism. Water baptism means you are accepting him as Lord by renouncing your lordship. And you're going under the water. Say, no longer I live
it.
And you come up out of the water. Believe that it's Christ that lives in you. What is Christ living in you mean?
The message.
Taking the message in flesh. And walking in flesh.
Amen.
I know that I have to end. But you need three things. When you accept Christ, you accept another Adam,
Christ.
Then you become his righteousness. And he become your sin. Do you see it here? No. That's why you have to believe it. And every mistake you make, you have to remember that. The day you forget, and the day you say, I'm a sinner, is the day you don't believe in your lamb. Your lamb paid for your sin past, and what you might do. He bought you completely. And you can never go back in the slave market again.
Amen.
When you sinned under
Adam,
all your sin remaining. But when you make mistakes in Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ and God cannot see it. That is the freedom you have. Christ. And when Christ rose from the dead, every time you hear he rose from the dead, it means you are not guilty.
Amen.
Because he rose for your justification. And justification means having no charges. You have no charges. Every time you doubt,
I believe you have charges. You are doubting the resurrection. What did the Bible say? He rose for our justification. Therefore, as long as he rose, I have no charges. I am not guilty. Amen. The blood has paid everything I owe. And I owe no debt. And Moses cannot frighten me. Because I owe the law, Moses. When Christ died, Moses' death was settled. The law cannot ask me for anything. The law cannot accuse me. Every time the law says, look what you did, I say, look what the land is. Every time Moses says, you're guilty, the
Lord
said, I paid the price. Amen. We are free. We are free from good works. And we are free under the grace of God. And now because we are free. I want to do good works.
Amen.
Not for salvation.
Not
of fear. Not for some religious fear. I want to please him.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 5:1. I'm sorry for these poor ministers. Because they have to go through these ABCs. But I was told it was for you. I thought. The meeting was for the congregation. I just believe this was the right thing to do. Romans 5:1. I'm going to close in 5 minutes. Romans 5:1. Listen carefully.
Asola esi oto afianami to posemela. Nti papa le ni apre ma udometo mi apeto Yesu Kristo ji.
Amen.
Being justified by faith.
Le meto oto afianami to posemela.
Faith means not seeing. Faith means what you see, you call like you don't see. And what you do see,
and
what you don't see, is like you see. Faith goes two ways, not one way. Faith means, I don't see perfect yet. Faith, see, I don't see perfection here. But even though I don't see it, the word says, I have no charges. The word says, I have no sin. Faith says, no matter what I see here, count it as if it's not.
Amen.
Faith is what justifies you.
Yes.
As long as you have faith in the Lamb,
and
the
judgment
that He took your sin, you have no sin. You have no charges. You have no guilt. Hear what the Bible says. Being justified by faith. Not good works. Not keeping of rules. Faith in
Christ,
as
long as you have faith in Christ,
you
have peace with God. You don't have to be afraid of an angry God. And when you mess up, because you will mess up, as long as God sees faith in the Lamb, and when the devil says, look what you did, when your neighbor says, look what you did, you must answer back in faith and says, look what my Lamb did. Look what my Lamb did. Look what I do, but what he did, but who I am, but who he is. That's faith in Christ. He's the God. Never to be afraid of an angry God anymore. That's God's grace. Your faith must grow. Faith in Christ is to believe in the Holy Spirit work in Christ.
His death.
You died. When he died. His resurrection means no guilt. His death, his burial, his resurrection. This is the work of God in Christ. The work of God in Christ. So you must have faith in Christ. It means that you have faith in the work God did in Christ. Then you must have faith of Christ.
Faith of Christ.
Amen. When you lay your hand on the Lamb, and you confess He's your Savior, and that He took your sin, and God accepted the sacrifice, when you raised Him from the dead, His resurrection means no charges. I have peace with God. Because God is pleased that I don't have faith in me. And I don't have faith in the church. I don't have faith in good works. I have faith in God's only providing way. Then the Spirit of the Lamb comes back in your day through a prophet messenger. A messenger comes with the Spirit of the Lamb. And if that messenger attracts your attention, because God is calling your name, tell you, amen, now you must have faith of Christ. If it's not having faith, not in the work of Christ, but in the word of Christ, the message of the hour. You must move from faith in Christ to the faith of Christ. And this gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This gives you the new birth. This comes with something called a doctrine of Christ. Don't have time. And the next phase you must move into. Perfect faith. The next phase is perfect faith. Perfect faith. Faith in the work of Christ. Faith in the work of Christ. And now God, in perfect faith, wants to have faith in your word.
Amen.
Perfect faith. It's not you trusting God. It's God trusting you.
Amen.
That perfect faith is called adopted faith.
Now you are just like your father.
Amen.
You can trust his word.
Amen.
Now he can trust your word.
Amen.
Not what I say, but what you say. I really hope you get some of
peace. Yeah.
Sure. Then you move from peace to peace. You move from peace with God.
To
believe in the work of Christ. Then you come to the peace of God. The messenger represents the Holy Spirit for your day.
And
the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He brings a message to comfort you and seal you with the Holy Spirit. Now
we
have peace of God. Continue in the faith. You will come to shalom. The faith unfolds the three baptisms. The faith in Christ is water baptism. Faith of Christ is spirit baptism.
Is
baptism with fire. New heaven, new earth, new body.
Baptism of fire means
new body. In the baptism of fire, is there not a new heavens and a new earth? Baptism of fire,
yes,
is new heavens and new earth.
And
the baptism with fire is a new body. Water baptism?
Spirit
baptism? Cleanse all the germs in this body. We did not get to the new birth.
Never get it on your body.
But I'm sure your ministers will help you. I believe the prophecy is about you. God will raise up young men and sweep this message to the coming of the Lord. Future preachers. Future pastors. If we could do a good job, then they will go on to perfection.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.